This is number 0050, the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0050. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, you'll meet Michael Perrick, a.k.a. Crimebo the Clown. Among other things, he hosts bachelorette parties, sharing stories of murder and mayhem to prospective brides. Are the husbands-to-be concerned about their future wives and what they're doing on their last night of freedom?
Well, it might scare them even more if they knew that the women were taking notes. Most people love these stories. You know, the crime world is full of the angry wife, the scorned lover, the two-timing husband. You know, they love those stories, and especially when they end up kind of bad.
Mark Russell Bell is a former Hollywood publicist who now hunts poltergeists. He's written a book called Testament.
I had gone to investigate a so-called talking poltergeist case in Oklahoma. I was working for Paramount Pictures at the time. It was a rather curious sequence of events. There were some strange and portentous experiences that I was experiencing while working at Paramount, but I really didn't understand what was happening, so I didn't give much thought to them.
Stuart Nallman is by with another edition of Book Banter.
Hi, I'm Stuart Nallman. On this edition of Book Banter, we'll look at Justin Halperin's hilarious bestseller, Bleep, My Dad Says, along with some memorable Life with Dad books. All this coming up later on the Stuff File program.
And we have lots and lots and lots of stuff, and of course, an idiot of the day. The guest later, the person who told you this was show number 0050, is Dave Charles from Charles Media Incorporated, a global media strategy company specializing in new media and radio formats. Thank you very much, Dave, for doing the slate on this edition of the Stuff File program. Let's get right to the stuff, shall we? And we'll talk about someone who was trying to elude police in Ohio. Cincinnati police say a speeding driver tried to flee arrest while obeying red lights. Well, that's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Police said a 26-year-old woman was going 78 miles per hour in a 55-mile-per-hour zone on Interstate 75 when an officer tried to pull her over. Police said she exited the highway to drive home. When the woman reached local streets, she drove the speed limit and stopped at red lights. They used sticks that punctured her tires just yards from her home. She told police she feared having her car impounded, which, of course, they did. Yeah, police said she resisted and they used a stun gun before charging her with resisting arrest, failing to comply with police, speeding, and oh yeah, driving under a suspended license. Now, it's amazing how whenever we do these stories, the people always seem to already have bad driving records because they already have suspended licenses. What's the deal with these people? I don't know. Anyway, moving right along. Okay. I've been on the record for years stating that cats are little pieces of evil plotting to take over mankind, but nobody listens to me on that front. I've even written blog pieces on the very topic to warn the general public, and by the way, I'll put a link into one of them on this week's What's On page on my website. Still, people don't listen. Well, here's the latest piece of evidence. Oregon State Police have taken the unusual step of issuing a missing cat alert for a feline that caused a car crash, escaped from a smashed-up SUV, and vanished. Southern Oregon University student Brittany Spady rolled her Ford Explorer on US 26 east of Banks, that's in Oregon, after her long-haired tortoiseshell cat, Callista, crawled between the brake and the gas pedals. Spady said she took her eyes off the road to try to stop the cat. She said the cat refused to travel in a carrier. Who's the boss here anyway? Anyway, Spady was headed home from Ashland and was just 2 miles from her parents' house when her vehicle went into a ditch, rolled, and hit a tree. The cat bolted, vanished into a nearby forest. State Police spokesman Lieutenant Greg Hastings said the family has been out looking for the missing cat, and he just wanted to help. See? The cops are even trying to help the family find this cat. Not to prosecute it to the fullest extent of the law, but to return it back home. Won't you people ever learn? Cats are evil. When you finally catch on, it will be too late. Okay, here's another one. This little kitty went home, but only after Vienna police and firefighters partially dismantled a police car to find it. The naughty feline first woke residents of a Vienna neighborhood with its desperate meowing, then kept police and firefighters busy for much of the night. She was found under the hood of a car, but eluded her rescuer's grasp. The kitten took cover under several other cars before seemingly disappearing, except for her meowing, that ever constant meowing. Firefighters and police finally struck pay dirt after jacking up a police cruiser, then following the sound and tracing the wayward kitty to a small space inside the vehicle's floor panel. But it took half an hour of elbow grease before the critter was nabbed and taken to an animal shelter, but not before having the last meow. According to firefighter Franz Zettenmeier, who finally collared the cat, "It bit my finger." Yeah, I keep telling you. Evil. Little pieces of evil. That's what cats are. Okay, moving right along. Stephen Kyle took about $75,000 worth of merchandise from Klein Custom Jewelers in Edmonds, Washington in June, but as he left the store, employees shouted to passersby, several of whom began to chase Kyle. Almost immediately, Kyle dropped his gun and the jewelry and fell to the ground exhausted. Kyle later revealed that he had only had one lung. If you have just one lung, perhaps running from a crime is not a good idea for you. You'd think this guy would be a candidate for Idiot of the Day, but he's not. There's a bigger idiot coming up a little later on in the show. Stick around for that. We have one more story, by the way, before we get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. And we've talked about kittens and cats a few moments ago. We have another animal story for you here coming from Germany. A German court threw out the case of a schoolteacher against a pupil who had allegedly been tormenting her by scrawling pictures of rabbits on the blackboard. The court in Vecce, northern Germany, declined to hear the complaint of the teacher, who was seeking an injunction against the 16-year-old girl to stop her from making the drawings or claiming the plaintiff had a paralyzing fear of rabbits.
What's the ordinary rabbit? That's the most foul, cruel, and bad-tempered rodent you ever set eyes on.
Well, not quite killer rabbits. Anyway, the plaintiff now has a month to appeal the verdict. This according to the chief judge, but the chief judge declined to elaborate. Witnesses had told the judge that the teacher ran sobbing out of the classroom when she saw the image of a rabbit on the blackboard. The girl denied making the drawings. 2 years ago, at another school, the teacher took a pupil to court and reached a settlement in which the teenager agreed never again to claim that the plaintiff freaked out when she saw a rabbit or heard the word rabbit. You know, that's just kind of weird. Some people are afraid of rabbits. There are also some people who are afraid of clowns, which is a subtle segue to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. You know, on her final night as a single woman, a bride-to-be could use some tips on killing her husband. That's where Crimebo the Clown comes in, a clown for hire who tells gory tales of murder and mayhem at bachelorette parties in the Los Angeles area. Crimebo, a.k.a. Michael Perrick, is on the line with us now from Los Angeles. Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thanks for being on the program with us. We had you on the old radio show many years ago talking about the various things that Crimebo does, but I was not aware of the fact that you actually do bachelorette parties.
Hey, I've branched out.
Now, how did this idea come about? I mean, it doesn't seem like something that you would think of when you think of a conventional bachelorette party.
Well, you know, the one thing that bachelorette and bachelor parties do miss is an MC, someone to orchestrate the whole evening of festivities. And it just seems that, you know, as I started doing this, that women were much more appreciative of an MC than more of a male crowd.
Okay. So you tell, as
they
I said...
They don't want as many witnesses.
I guess. I saw The Hangover. When you do your thing as Crimebo at bachelorette parties, as I said in the introduction, you tell gory stories of murder and mayhem. Doesn't that scare some of the potential husbands-to-be when they hear what kind of bachelorette party their future bride will be having?
Well, it might scare them even more if they knew that the women were taking notes. No. Most people love these stories. You know, the crime world is full of the angry wife, the scorned lover, the two-timing husband. You know, they love those stories, and especially when they end up kind of bad.
So what kind of stories do you share? Give us an example of something you would tell the ladies at a bachelorette party.
Well, I tell them about a wonderful story called about the Batman, about a guy here in Hollywood. Well, actually, it's a woman, and her husband lived in this house, and unknowns to the husband, the woman had her secret lover living in the attic. And this actually went on for almost 20 years.
Wow.
Till eventually, and they moved 3 times. And each time the guy would get there early, move into the attic, and would crawl in and out of different crawl spaces while the husband was away at work or whatever. When he was away at work, he would come down and play with the wife. And when he was at home, you know, he would stay up in his attic and read by candlelight and write little crime stories, believe it or not. And eventually, the husband and wife, the husband was a drinker, and he got really drunk and got into a kind of a major fight with his wife, and here comes the little guy out of the attic, and he dropped down and shot the guy dead. And because they kind of made it look like a burst-in, like a crime, you know, like a robbery, the guy ended up getting away with it.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a good story.
Now, as I said, we talked to you on our old radio show many years ago about what you do as Crimebo. And by the way, people can check out the website, crimebo.com. We were giving tours, and we talked about the tours. And as you said, you've now branched out into what you're doing. Besides bachelorette parties, this is one that caught my eye on the website, blind dates?
Yes. That's actually becoming quite... I'm getting hired quite a bit for that, especially girls that are kind of afraid of meeting that internet date. They hire me, and I go along with them to break the ice.
So a date brings a clown to her blind date.
Yeah, and that way you're able to test, you know, you're able to test the guy and see whether or not he's either got a sense of humor or... He's too freaked out, and he's obviously not good for you.
Now, as you are aware, there are people out there who are afraid of clowns. You're not helping, Michael.
I never said I was out there to help people.
Okay. is being Crimebo now your full-time gig?
No, I'm an actor. I work as an actor. I do several other things. Crimebo, I'm trying to figure out how to make Crimebo pretty much my only thing I do, because it would be nice to be able to make a full living from it. I certainly put enough work into it.
Now getting back to the bachelorette parties. With all the stories of murder and mayhem that take place between spouses that you share at the bachelorette parties, has anybody ever decided to get really cold feet and back out of a wedding after a night out with Crimebo and the girls?
No, it has never happened.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I would have to say that I have a tendency to push them into marriage. I just basically say, hey, look, if you don't get married, you end up looking being someone like me.
Does Crimebo ever get invited to the wedding?
I have not been invited to the wedding. I was sort of tentatively asked to come to the honeymoon, but I actually kept away from that one.
Would
more trouble than I thought it was worth.
Would you have to stay in the attic during the day?
I didn't go that far.
Okay. Now, do you ever share any matrimonial tips? Does Crimebo have any matrimonial tips for the ladies?
Oh, of course. The secrets to a good relationship are: not all secrets need to be shared. Lingerie needs to be updated at least every 3 months. And number 3, you have to keep your own bank account.
That's very good advice, actually.
Very and I'm good. Only telling you the G-rated one.
Of course. Now, how did Crimebo get started for you?
Well, I am, like I said, I'm an actor. I'm a performer. I do a lot of stage and live performance work. And I had been doing characters for a number of years, different characters. I do an old Jewish guy named Cy Goldstein. I used to do a series of shows called Jew Night here in Los Angeles, where we had wacky Jewish performers, and I took it all up and down the coast, actually, and it got very successful. And then I used to do a few other characters, and I used to do another clown character that was a little bit more raunchy and a little bit more mean. But I stopped doing that character for a few years, and then my friends who run Esoteric, Kim and Richard, called me up one day, and they said, you know, we'd really like to have a clown on the crime tours. And I said, crime tours, huh? You mean like Crimebo? And they're like, perfect. And that's where Crimebo started. And I have to say, I have a lot of fun doing the character. It's very versatile. I'm able to do so many different, things. There isn't anything that Crimebo can't fit into as a character. But most of all, I just love the freedom of doing the character. There isn't anything that you can't do as a clown.
Well, I just find it interesting that you started out doing tours and now you're doing bachelorette parties as Crimebo the Clown. I don't think anyone could have plotted out that business model.
You know, maybe I should go into business and actually plan business models like that for people.
And I think before we let you go, we should let people know, and of course there's the website, which is crimebo.com, that despite the fact that you spend your time talking about crime, murder, mayhem, and you also do birthday parties and blind dates and even Crimebo Santa, I understand, despite all those gory things you talk about, we had to hold off on recording this interview because you were out with your grandmother.
Yes.
And as far as I'm concerned, any crime clown who is good to Bubby and Zeta, that's fine with me.
My grandmother is 91 years old. She still drives. She has all her marbles. She does really well. She just, needs help once in a while. I'm down here like 2 or 3 days a week and help her out. And, we're best friends, actually.
Hmm. Okay, I don't know what's more scary, Crimebo the Clown or a 91-year-old grandmother who still drives.
She's actually a good driver. I would not say that if it wasn't true.
Okay. Again, people can check out the website, which is crimebo.com. I thank you very much, Michael, for being on the program with us once again.
You are very welcome. It was a great pleasure.
Michael Perrick, who is also known as Crimebo the Clown. Again, you can check out his website at crimebo.com. And, of course, you can find the link by going to my website at thestufffile.com. Just go to the What's On page for this show, which is 0050, and you can find all the links. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
What are they saying about if the rains don't cleanse? New York Times bestselling author David Mixner says, as a writer and advocate for Africa, I could not put down Ben Patrick Johnson's If the Rains Don't Cleanse. Aubrey Hooks, the U.S. ambassador to Ivory Coast, says, fascinating and hard to put down. If the Rains Don't Cleanse is CNN breaking news disguised as historical fiction. If people can't put it down, then why haven't you picked it up? If the Rains Don't Cleanse, the tale of missionaries in 1950s Belgian Congo is loosely based on my own parents' lives. It's available online, including Amazon.com and Amazon.ca. I, Ben Patrick Johnson, want you to read this book. My mother, Abidale Johnson, wants you to read this book. Now remember, this is a woman who survived as a missionary in Congo half a century ago. She is tough. Now do not make me send her your way. If the Rains Don't Cleanse, get it now, or deal with my mother. Coming to you from Canada, the land of universal health care, colorful money, and the correct spelling of the word theater. This is The Stuff File with Peter Anthony Holder.
And still to come on the program, we'll meet the author of the book Testament. Plus, we'll have another edition of Book Banter with Stuart Nullman. And, of course, an idiot of the day. But right now, lots more stuff. And we go all the way to England. Workers at a British farm say cows exposed to a theater group performing renditions of a Shakespeare play increased milk production by 4%. Farmers at Pleasant Farm near Maidstone, England, said the Changeling Theatre Company's rendition of The Merry Wives of Windsor, a comedy about recurring William Shakespeare character Falstaff attempting to seduce two women, caused the cows to increase their milk yield by 4%. Anything that calms the animals and reduces their stress is good, and Shakespeare ticks all the right boxes, says farm worker Liam Batt. Perhaps there is something in the language of Shakespeare. We don't know, but it seems to work, and milk production has gone up 4%. Rob Forknall, artistic director of the Changeling Theatre Company, said, "The bizarre experiment was born of wondering whether Shakespeare would have a relaxing effect on cows, similar to that of classical music. We were all slightly surprised when it did," Forknall said. "Since then, we've done several rehearsals with the cows. It saves us having to book rehearsal space, and the farmers are very pleased to get more milk." Well, this is just utterly fascinating, isn't it? Meanwhile, somebody really needs a hug in Iowa City. Police arrested a 23-year-old man who apparently really, really, really needed a hug. Police found the young man aggressively punching cars. Now, when they stopped him and asked what the heck he was doing, he said he had become upset after he tried to hug another man and was pushed away. Police said the suspect then punched and dented the hood of a car before punching the man he had tried to hug. You won't be surprised to find out that our hug-needing friend had a blood alcohol content level of 0.86. That should be 0.086, which is well over the legal limit. There you go. Okay, prying open a church donation box and stealing money from it can't make the Almighty too happy. But using a crucifix to pry open the donation box and steal the money seems like a sure way to guarantee yourself a one-way ticket to that great lake of fire. But that's just what happened in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Police arrested a 48-year-old man trying to rob the donation box at the St. John the Baptist Catholic Church, caught him in the act using a crucifix that he had removed from the church altar. He was arrested and charged with burglary and theft. Ah, but those are only mortal charges. There is a higher calling waiting for him. Okay, on to the Darwin file, because as you know, the tree of life is often self-pruning, and there are always people who will find interesting in different ways of taking themselves off the planet. Police in Houston said the man killed when he drove his 18-wheeler into a freeway pillar on July 6th was part of a two-man scheme to defraud the auto insurance company. Police said it was the other man who was originally scheduled to drive, but that, citing the danger, he wisely backed out. Meanwhile, inmate Carlos Medina Bayon, age 30, who was awaiting trial on drug trafficking charges in El Paso, Texas, escaped in July by hiding in the jail's garbage collection system. Well, Carlos's body was found later the same day under mounds and mounds and mounds of trash in a landfill. Nice going there, Carlos. And that's the Darwin File for this week. Let's talk about Jesus, shall we? Jesus has decided to reveal himself to the world yet again, this time in the feathers of Gloria the Chicken from Halesowen in the United Kingdom. Gloria's owner, 25-year-old Mitchell Granger, discovered the miracle in a photo of his pet chicken having a bath. He has a photo of his pet chicken having a bath. That's concern number one for me right there. But anyway, moving right along, Granger said, "I literally said, 'Jesus Christ,' when I saw the picture. The face of Jesus is clear to see, and when I showed my mom, she even pointed out the ring of thorns." On the other hand, Gloria obviously had someone watching over her after miraculously escaping a vicious fox attack. Mr. Granger explained, "It was strange that it would appear on Gloria because not long ago, she was the only chicken out of 20 that wasn't killed by a fox. She was standing on the step when he came, and miraculously, she wasn't touched. That's why we called her Gloria, after Gloria Gaynor's song, 'I Will Survive.'" Really? How about Gloria in Excelsis Deo? Since you're going with the religious theme anyway. Anyway. Moving right along, in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, 45-year-old Glenn Waltman allegedly stood outside the apartment door of Stephanie Molina yelling, "Jerry, you owe me money!" Molina yelled back that she didn't know anyone named Jerry. That wasn't good enough for Waltman, who then reportedly kicked in her door, grabbed Molina, and hit her. So Molina grabbed the first thing she could find to defend herself, in this case, a railroad spike. Because we all have one in our houses, don't we? Yeah. It proved to be a most effective weapon and sent Waltman running. Police easily found the trail of blood all the way back to Waltman's apartment, which was in the same building. He was arrested after struggling with police and charged with burglary and robbery. He won't be messing with that woman again, I can guarantee you that. Meanwhile, in Dallas, a woman was sitting on her bed in her apartment and apparently was showing a little butt crack. Her female friend playfully ran her finger along the woman's butt crack, and then things just went crazy. The action reportedly prompted the sitting woman to clench her buttocks, which she claims in turn caused the bed she was sitting on to break. That's some clench. This made her very angry, and a fight ensued in which the suspect repeatedly hit the victim before grabbing a butcher knife and threatening to kill her. According to the report, the suspect said, "Are you ready to die?" The alleged victim managed to get to a phone and call police. Then the butt-crack-touching suspect fled. Officers found no visible injuries on the woman, who refused medical attention. Okay. In St. Petersburg, Florida, a woman suffering what is being called a very strange case of road rage while driving on the Howard Franklin Bridge. Around 4 o'clock one afternoon, the woman got out of her car, jumped on the hood of another car, then took off her top and started flashing the driver. When police arrived, the topless woman ran into traffic to avoid getting arrested. Emergency crews were on the scene for about an hour, and the woman was taken into custody. Police tried to interview the victim, but he just couldn't get that smile off his face. And finally, in this section of the Stuff File program news with me, Peter Anthony Holder, at a wedding in Italy, 45-year-old Calogero Scimia stepped in at the last minute to photograph the big event after a wedding couple's hired photographer fell ill. He was taking photos of the happy couple at the groom's parents' home in Sicily prior to the wedding when he decided it would be a good idea to have the loving couple hold rifles together. Well, you guessed it. One of the guns accidentally went off and shot Scimia squarely in the head, killing him instantly. That kind of ruined the whole day and the wedding was called off. A police spokesman confirmed the firearms were legally held, but they should all be kept safe and not be handled by people who are not used to them and have no experience. In southern Italy, and especially in the Isle of Sicily, it is traditional for guns to be fired at special family events like weddings. just not at the heads of photographers. That's irony for you in this story. Here's a photographer who actually got a headshot. Okay, let's get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Studying poltergeists may leave you with a mischievous, ghostly roommate. After researching unruly spirits for his online book, Testament, about people haunted by real-life ghosts, former Hollywood publicist Mark Russell Bell found himself the target of supernatural stalking. He's on the line with us right now. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm in Southern California, and it's a beautiful day.
Are you still being haunted? Do you feel safe?
Well, the article you read derived from a recent news release that I put out mentioning my blog and website, and the intention was to help readers learn about my blog, which helps people find noteworthy sources of information relating to metaphysical and spiritual topics.
Right.
Anyway, I had my a case study was published in 1997 about my experience, and ever since that time, I have been interacting with people on the radio and around the world who've been reading about the experience in my online book. I had gone to investigate a so-called talking poltergeist case in Oklahoma. I was working for Paramount Pictures at the time, and I'd always been interested in the paranormal. At Paramount, too, I'd worked on some films that had paranormal themes, such as the movie Ghost, the Star Trek movies, less popular films such as Dead Again, Leap of Faith. So anyway, it was just a rather curious sequence of events. There were some strange and portentous experiences that I was experiencing while working at Paramount, but I really didn't understand what was happening, so I didn't give much thought to them.
Are you a person who's always been into spirits and the supernatural?
Well, as a child, I was attracted to mysterious subjects such as ghosts, UFOs, cryptozoology. I had a few odd things that happened to me as a child. Like when I was 5 years old, I heard what seemed like a disembodied voice calling my name. And some of these things I didn't even think about until after I went to Oklahoma and experienced more phenomena. It basically was such a sequence of events that I began to put together the puzzle pieces of various things that I'd experienced. I was raised a non-denominational Christian, once in a while to church in Pasadena, California, where I was living with my twin brother. And some of the things that happened in the haunted house, at least that's what they call these events, seem to have Christian symbolism, such as a nail materialized and bounced off my head. I'd experienced some burning bushes the previous year. Anyway, it was just a very strange sequence of events that I decided to write a case study about in a verbatim question and answer transcript format. I've gone through an evolution of describing what happened. When I first tried to tell my friends and relatives, I could only say, God revealed himself to me. Then I was thinking, herself, or themselves, or ourselves. An omnipresence, basically, was revealed to me in a specific series of events that I tried to document.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. You went to Oklahoma, as you mentioned, to interview a family that had an especially, I guess, troublesome spirit causing ruckus in their home. But then, upon returning back to Los Angeles, you started experiencing even more creepy things that led you to delve deeper into this subject. So just based on what you just said, is there a fine line between supernatural entities and religion and faith?
Well, my recent news release that inspired the article you read was called Popularity of Paranormal Investigations Motivates Mark Russell Bell to Share Insights. So basically, I listed 7 observations that I felt were important for investigators of unexplained phenomena because it is a huge trend throughout the world. There's over 1,000 paranormal associations listed on when you search Google, and there are they're popular in Canada, they're popular in the United Kingdom, even Australia. I'm not quite as familiar with the non-English-speaking countries. But anyway, having my experiences, there were some things I wanted to remind people about. But, you know, having gone through my evolution of describing what happened to me, I quickly found that using the word God is a huge problem because people do have their own interpretations. Eventually, in 2007, I put out a news release. I have been a professional publicist, so I have put out numerous news releases over the years. But I pretty much boiled down to my experiences and research to the fact that all living things are continuously interacting with an intermediary superconsciousness or spiritual force that may be recognized through circumstances often described as coincidences, or I like to refer to the word as coincidences. And synchronicity, intuition and telepathy, prophetic dreams and visions, mediumship and trans-channeling, healing, as well as events associated with such expressions as hauntings, talking poltergeists, and electronic voice phenomena. Some of the terms that I refer to is oneness, Christ consciousness, a shared subconscious mind, and superconscious mind interacting with this, if you will. And this is pretty much what I saw revealed to me.
Well, when it comes to people who you already mentioned you work as a publicist. But when it comes to
I had worked. I no longer do.
You no longer do. How long have you not been working?
After this event happened to me,
yes,
my spiritual orientation changed, and I realized that the corporate entertainment industry was just not in keeping with my spiritual understanding. However, I must say that my twin brother still does work in the entertainment industry. He's a very well-known publicist. In fact, that's how I had originally began working at Paramount Pictures. It's a long story, but anyway.
Yeah. So where do you stand now? I mean, you have the book out, which is called Testament, and as I mentioned, you can get it online, and you can also find it in places like Amazon.com. And you can also find it through your website, which is testament.org. So where does this stand now? What is the biggest message you want to get out to people?
Well, it's funny. When you called me the other day, I listened to one of your podcasts, number 44, because there was an insight in my news release about electronic voice phenomena. And basically, I stated that it may be obtained anywhere with all varieties of recording devices. Listen closely to unedited radio and TV broadcasts, and you may be surprised. So anyway, I listened to Podcast 44 on the Windows browser, Windows Media Player. And right after your guest said, we have a lot of different interviews, we don't. You can hear a very distinct no at 12:40 into the interview. After you hear the no, he goes on talking. He says it's not like a talk radio, et cetera, et cetera. And there were some other instances too, but I am trying. It's something I've noticed and been aware of for some years, and I've talked to other people on the radio and played tapes of some of the EVP. I learned about it in Oklahoma with some very prominent examples. And then I went back and I listened to some of my old interviews when I was at Paramount Pictures, and I could hear also noticeable EVP. And before you realize it's possible, you just edit it out. But for people who are willing to ponder this, the best way of doing it is listening for the word no. It's amazing how often in the middle of a sentence you can hear the word if something. I think it's super consciousness trying to help us evolve and to learn about truth and just help us in our evolution. And there are also cases, too, where people subconsciously say the word no in the middle of a sentence, I've noticed. And it's a similar symptom of the same basic phenomenon. And it's quite interesting to listen to.
The book is called Testament. It's written by Mark Russell Bell, and you can go to his website, which is www.testament.org. I thank you very much, Mark, for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Thank you.
Mark Russell Bell, author of Testament. You can visit his website at testament.org. And, of course, you can find the link by going to my website at thestufffile.com. Just go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0050, and you'll find the links.
You're listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
If you're into the paranormal, then you're into Don Ecker and Dark Matters.
Something I have been immersed in for 20 years, lunar research on items known as lunar transient phenomena. For over 400 years, world-class astronomers have been observing strange sights, lights, flashes, and other things on the moon.
Provocative topics, listeners' calls, and interesting guests.
Mr. Alan Stern.
On my website, I have a list of 100 or so lunar conspiracy theories. I had to kind of come to terms with one of them that I hadn't really thought about.
It's the kind of show that might keep you up at night.
Speculation is, at some time in our past, or perhaps even today, there is another presence on the moon. And I'm not talking about indigenous lunar folks. I'm talking about a space base by somebody else on the far side of the moon.
Dark Matters with Don Ecker, exclusively on CyberStationUSA.com.
From our studios in Montreal, Canada, and going out to the rest of the world, this is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. It's time to crack a spine. The Stuff File presents Book Banter with Stuart Nullman. Once again, here's Peter Anthony Holder.
And we do have, through the wonderful world of Skype-to-Skype communication, Stuart Nullman and another edition of Book Banter. Hi, Stu.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Fine. Survived the festival just for laughs?
Yeah, more laughs than you could possibly imagine.
Okay, you're not shaking a stick at it, are you? Okay.
No.
Just checking. So what do you have for us this week?
Well, I got a book that's been topping the bestseller list, actually. It's called Bleak My Dad Says. Now, let me tell you, fathers are known to give advice and words to live by to their children in a very sacred and profane manner. Now, when it comes to Sam Halpern, he's a retired doctor from San Diego and father of Maxim.com writer Justin Halpern, his rather sage advice he imparts upon his son is both of the above-mentioned qualities. Actually, it kills a lot of sacred cows and laced with a lot of profane language. So when it comes to when you come to think of it, it's like an angry, enraged version of the Robert Young character from Father Knows Best. And although many of Sam Halpern's fatherly pieces of wisdom are laced with a heaping helping of four-letter words, Justin realized how much heart there was behind all his rather blunt examples of fatherhood. He decided to take these nuggets of fatherly wisdom and create a Twitter site called Bleep My Dad Says.
And by the way, we should mention, in case people aren't onto this yet, Bleep My Dad Says. We can't say the word that is used. However, there is a new CBS television show coming on in the fall with the same title based on the premise. And the star of the show is William Shatner. So think of the past tense, or present tense rather, of William Shatner's last name, and you can probably guess the title.
Exactly. But we can't say it here.
There you go.
No. We're just sugarcoating it, actually.
Yeah.
But soon enough, this site began to create a widespread following, which now attracts over a million people to see what Justin's dad has to say about different issues and concerns that dealt with raising his son or any other issue that just crossed his rather angry, addled mind. Now, he's taken this massively popular Twitter site, like I said, to the new upcoming new TV show with William Shatner, and this book, which has topped the bestseller list. Actually, it's still number one New York Times bestseller list. Now, it's two books in one. It's a collection of the best of Sam Halperin's rather twisted fatherly philosophies that were featured on the Twitter site. And when you read them, one of the things that you will notice, besides liberal use of the F and S words, is that he is not afraid to speak his mind on any issue that concerns him or bothers him, for that example. Here's a couple examples that are suitable to cite on this show. Now, here's what he said about buying a gift for his birthday. If it's not bourbon or sweatpants, it's going in the garbage. No, don't get creative. Now is not a creative time. Now is a bourbon and sweatpants time. Or on baseball cards. If you sell them over the age of 20, it means you either never get laid or you have a drug problem. Yes, you know, this book may have a lot of hidden heart to it, but the main thing is that it's a historical book to read, and I give you fair warning that you should not read this book in public, because you're going to take it from personal experience, you're going to be laughing out so loud that you have to put the book away and find a private spot to read this book. It is that funny. So Bleep My Dad Says is an uproarious salute to fathers who enjoy to impart their wisdom and experiences to their impressionable children as they grow up in their own unique manner, and in the case of Sam Halperin, a very cranky, curmudgeonly, and cantankerous manner at that.
Mm.
So it's called Bleep My Dad Says, published by It Books, and it's $17.99.
And look for the accompanying show on CBS coming up in the fall. Now, dare I ask, with a book like this, we usually have you try to find other books to recommend in the same vein when you do a review. Is there something that comes close to this?
Well, I was thinking of three books. One is light, one is two of the rather heavy ones. One is the original Life with Father by Clarence Day, which was published in 1935, became a hit Broadway show, and then a movie with William Powell. That's been reprinted, actually, so you can find that. And also, two Hollywood books, P.S. I Love You by Michael Sellers, about his father, Peter Sellers, and which gives a real dark side to Inspector Clouseau. And also one of the most hard-hitting Hollywood father memoirs was Going My Own Way by Gary Crosby, about his dad, Bing Crosby. And it's maybe heavy, it may be a heavy book, but it's a very hard-hitting look at this other side of these two great performers told by their sons that, you know, maybe everything wasn't as, Inspector Clouseau when you think about it. But they're excellent books, but very hard-hitting stuff, actually.
When you read Gary Crosby's books, you'll never want to sing White Christmas again or drink orange juice.
No. Or play golf.
Or play golf, yes. Anyway, well, sir, how can people find you online?
Well, you can read me every week on the West End Times website, www.westendtimes.ca, and that's where you can read Book Banter.
Excellent. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Book Banter with Stuart Nullman here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
The Stuff File.
And still to come on the program, we have a couple of Stuff File stories for you and, of course, an Idiot of the Day. But first, we have to check the mailbag.
Incoming subspace signal.
And there's a couple of items in the mailbag on this program. The first one comes in to us via Facebook. Saul L. writes, Peter, upcoming congratulations on the first anniversary of the Stuff File program. I enjoy listening to you every week. It's really not enough. However, it's great to hear your voice. Well, Saul, thank you very, very much for those kind words. Much appreciated. Yes, the year has gone by very quickly. The first Stuff File program was the first week of September. I would also like to thank you, Saul, for the donation you made to the show, which, believe me, is also very, very much appreciated. Which brings me, by the way, to our next point. When I first started the show, many asked about funding for the program. It was my intention to build up the audience first, which I have done, to the tune of about 150,000 listeners weekly and growing, before embarking on any advertising campaigns. And by the way, the Stuff File will be carried on Taiwan's national carrier China Airlines in-flight entertainment system via PCJ Radio starting September 1st. So I'm still working hard at growing the network. Now, some of you had expressed interest in donating to the show. In the past, I've held off on this, but for those of you who are still interested, I have placed a PayPal donate button on my website and also on the blog, so if you enjoy the program and are so inclined, please feel free to make a one-time donation in any small amount, such as $1, $5, or $10. You'll find the button on the splash page, sked page, and what's on page on the website, and also on the blog site. It's very greatly appreciated. And again, thank you very, very much, Saul L., for your donation. Now, on to our next item in the mailbag section, also via Facebook, short and sweet. Anthony M. writes, "Man, I'm nothing without the stuff file. I'm glad you're keeping it up." Well, Anthony, thank you very much. Much appreciated, but seriously, you have to get out more. And that's the mailbag. This is the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
Got something for the mailbag? Send your email to mailbag@thestufffile.com. And remember, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's mailbag@thestufffile.com.
And we take you right back to the Stuff File news and talk a little bit about bank robberies. And, you know, recently we told you about a guy dressed as Darth Vader robbing a bank in New York. That was on the program, I believe it was last week. Well, this time around, we have a guy with a BB gun wearing a woman's blonde wig, fake breasts, and clown pants robbing a bank in Swissvale, Pennsylvania. Police believe 48-year-old Dennis Hawkins is their man, mainly because they found him sitting in a parked car covered in red dye from an exploding packet that was put in the bag of money he was given. Police Chief Greg Gephardt says, "Hawkins robbed the bank at gunpoint using a toy BB gun, ironically a BB gun he had shoplifted earlier from a store. He then entered a woman's car, she got out, took her keys, and called police. Hawkins was found sitting in the car, covered in red dye, wearing clown pants and a blonde wig. Cute. And fake breasts. Don't forget the fake breasts." Okay. Finally, before we get to our idiot of the day here on the Stuff File program, you know, 2 weeks ago, a great white shark was spotted off Nauset Beach in Cape Cod. Now, Friday, swimmers got another great white warning after another shark was tagged off South Beach, and several more were seen by a pilot. Yet despite all of these sightings, the town refuses to close their beaches because they don't want to lose any tourist dollars. If only there were some big, blockbuster movie that demonstrates how badly this could work out. In the meantime, swimmers are being told to stay close to shore and pay attention when in the water. Could someone please get Richard Dreyfuss over to Cape Cod stat? Someone. Anyone. You know, the entire area could be up for idiot of the day because of that story, but they're not. This is the idiot of the day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. This stuff file presents the idiot of the day.
A West Kentucky woman's attempt to get her son out of jail on bond came undone over a misspelling. The Paducah Sun reported that court officials became suspicious when the 44-year-old mother presented a letter allegedly from Wagner Moving and Storage. The woman knew bond for her son would be lowered if he had written proof of a job. But the company name was misspelled, and when investigators checked, they learned the woman had asked for such a letter from the company and had been denied. She was jailed on a charge of evidence tampering. Her son was charged with receiving stolen property. They both are now in jail in lieu of cash bonds. Now, first of all, don't try forging letters if you can't even spell Wagner Moving and Storage. Second, try spell check for the love of God. And third, why would you think a moving company would write a letter for your son who is charged with receiving stolen property? Seriously? A moving company? There's only one reason, lady. One reason only. you're an idiot.
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, number 0050. The website is thestufffile.com, and stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you can find information and links on all of our guests by going to the What's On page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and again, that's 0050. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me at facebook.com, and that's at facebook.com/PAHolder, and Twitter at twitter.com/PAHolder. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, KDXRadio.com, streaming on PCJMedia.com, and over the air on World FM 88.2 in New Zealand and Gold FM 90.5 in Singapore. That's it. Bye-bye.
Experienced another edition of the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. Now, doesn't that make you feel all warm and fuzzy? Like watching puppies and kittens frolicking in a field of daisies. Like the smells coming from Grandma's kitchen. Like the hallucinogenics you took in the 60s and I'm taking right now. Hello, cartoon birdies. Perhaps I said too much. Anyway, you know what I mean. Let the glow wash over you and enjoy. Peace out.